What we're going to be talking about tonight. Miss Scott, I appreciate y'all, musicians, Brother Matt, Miss Carrie, thank y'all so much for helping out, guys, with the security. Y'all are a blessing. And we got Miss Miranda and her group in here, and at least the spiritual ones that come. And anyhow, I'm thankful for you. Thank y'all for, they finished up their teen kid, and anyhow, I don't know if that's a break for them or not. They were having a good time out there, but I'm sure they were wanting a little bit of a break. Amen. Take your Bibles, Romans chapter number 1. Let's start off reading in verse number 13. Is everybody there? All right, we'll read just a few verses, and then we'll get into the rest of the verses as we get into the sermon. But starting in verse number 13, Paul is speaking here, and he's writing to the church at Rome. Paul did not found this church. This wasn't a church that Paul founded on a missionary trip. Matter of fact, Paul was in Corinth when he was writing this letter to the church at Rome. So Paul had not visited the church of Rome. He had not been there, but he had a strong desire to go there. More than likely, this church, matter of fact, I'll just say this about this church. We do not know who started this church. So we can't even give it an apostle's name or authority over it as far as the startup. What we do know is that if you go back into Acts chapter number 2 at Pentecost, there was those that were there and were saved at Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2 that were from Rome. Chances maybe, possibly, that as they got back to Rome, they began to meet together and congregate together, and a church was formed. Now, Paul knew about this church, even though he had never visited this church, and even though we don't have testimonies of others visiting this church, we do know that Paul had a heart and a burden for this church, and that he prayed for this church and mentioned it by name. We also know that there were certain individuals in the church whom Paul was acquainted with, some way, form, or fashion, whether through letters or whether through them coming to where he was at and him finding out and having knowledge of it. We don't know, but he did have an acquaintance with some of the members of this congregation there at Rome. And so Paul writes a letter, having never been to Rome, and he states in the beginning of this his desire. Now, I'll just give you a little bit of information about the book of Romans. As you go through the book of Romans, it does contain probably the best laid out doctrine of salvation that we have in the Word of God. Somebody can read the book of Romans and get saved. Paul lays it out perfectly. Matter of fact, when we deal with people here at our church, when we deal with somebody on salvation, we don't tell them what we think. We go and most everybody in here has been taught and trained and shown how to use what we consider and call the Romans road to salvation. That road simply consists of getting them lost. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's in Romans chapter number 3 and in verse number 23. In Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10, we find out there's none righteous, no, not one. We find out in Romans chapter number 6 and in verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We find out where that sin comes from in Romans chapter number 5. It tells, wherefore by one man, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for they're all sin. We even find out in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8 that God did that for us, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We find out, how are we going to get saved? We know that we're lost. We know that there's a penalty for being lost. We know that we are lost because of Adam, that sin nature. How do we get rid of it? Paul says, I'm glad you asked. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. It says, for the man, for with the heart, or with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I think is how it's worded, and it might not be that way, but that's in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. You can go look it up for yourself, memorize it, and come back and tell me how it said, all right? But the entire doctrine of salvation Paul lays out in the book of Romans to this church there in Rome, because he never visited. But he desired to. He wanted to. And in Romans chapter number 1, Verse number 13, he says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren." Now he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want you to know something. "That oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto." Whatever reason, he wasn't able to or wasn't allowed to. He says, "That I might have some fruit among you also." Boy, oh, Paul, he didn't care. Listen to me, y'all. If we can't, I might not even get into the sermon. I might just have to preach a Sunday, which I'd like to. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I put this thing together. I'd like, man, I wish I'd preach this on Sunday and just, I'll just throw something out there for y'all tonight. But he says this. He says, "I might have some fruit among you also." Paul wasn't interested in a new car. I need somebody to hear me right here, because this is where we're going to get to eventually in this thing. Paul wasn't interested in things of this world. Paul was interested in eternal things. And the fruit that Paul wanted, it wasn't their paycheck. The fruit that Paul wanted from them, it wasn't their houses. It wasn't their cars. It wasn't their land. It wasn't their approval. It wasn't anything but to see them saved. He said that I might have some fruit among you, that I might come in and do my part in getting people saved. Even as among other Gentiles, even as I've done in other places like Thessalonica, Corinth, Berea, Athens, all these places. Now, Paul says in verse number 14, "I am debtor." This is why. Is everybody with me? This is why Paul wasn't interested in earthly things, because Paul seen himself as a debtor. I'm going to say that because y'all didn't get it, all right? Paul wasn't interested in earthly things because, as far as Paul was concerned, for what God had done for him, he was a debtor to both God and the gospel. He says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." He says, "I'm a debtor to this gospel that saved me. I'm a debtor to this Jesus that saved me. I'm not interested in the things of this world because I'm looking for something far greater in another world." And he says, "And right now, I am ready to preach what? The gospel to you. Not my man-made religion, not my soapbox, but the good news." What's the good news? The good news is that there is a Savior for mankind. There is a man that is a God-man that came to this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life and became a perfect sacrifice that satisfied the wrath of God for every human being as long as they put their faith in him. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul was excited about that. And yes, that was one of your memory verses. Verse number 16, Paul says this. He said in verse 15, "I am ready." In verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed." Oh, I need somebody to hear me tonight, because we going there. We going there tonight. We going there tonight. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." It amazes me how many people are ashamed of the gospel. The same thing that they claim that saved them, they're ashamed to tell somebody else. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it." Does anybody know what it is? Come on, y'all gotta help me now. Does anybody know what it is? What is he saying when he says it? What is he talking about? The gospel. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God. Does everybody see that? It's not a power of God. It is the power of God. In other words, if you think you're going to save somebody, or you think your words are going to save somebody, then you're fighting a losing battle. But if you'll give them the gospel is the power, not your power, but God's power unto salvation. So why are we so ashamed of it? Why are we so worried about giving it to somebody else? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that, say it with me, amen. Not to everyone that worketh. I need somebody to help me. Not to everyone that thinketh. Not to everybody. Not to everyone that wanteth. It's to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Don't let that get you all in an uproar. That's how Jesus came. He came to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. That's how he laid out the gospel. He came to his people first, and then when they rejected him, he comes to us. Somebody needs to thank God he came to us. Somebody needs to thank God that we were included in this. Instead of worrying about not being first. Goes on in verse number 17. Man, this is just good stuff. I can't get, is everybody all right? For therein, what, where, what is therein? For therein, what is that? The gospel, I like it. For therein is the righteousness of God. We're going to get back to that and you're going to like it, I promise you. For therein, therein what? Therein the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now I got to go to verse number 18 and we'll stop, at least for right now. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Paul just jumped right into the fire. Is everybody with me? I wrote out, as I was studying this, Paul, most people that would go into Rome, Rome at this time in Paul's day was the epitome of power. They were the greatest example of power. There was a world power. They controlled everything at this time, and Paul's desire was to go into there, go into Rome, and preach that they had no power. Y'all stay with me. He desired to go in there and preach to them that what power they thought they had, they really didn't have. Now I'm getting all over my sermon right here, but I'm trying to get us to our sermon, all right? So he's going in there to tell them that what power you think you have, you don't have. And so for Paul to want to go in there, you would think that Paul would be wanting to go in there with an entourage, an army. I need somebody to help me right here. I mean, let's just be honest about it. He was fighting a great battle, but Paul was willing to do it all by himself. Because Paul believed that what he carried in with him was far more powerful than any army that could come against him. That's the problem today, is you and I don't believe in the power of the gospel. You and I, we're so worried and so focused on our ability and what somebody might think of us that we don't realize that we hold the very power of God in our hands and in our hearts. And if we'll just turn it loose, there ain't no power that can come against it. So Paul says, I ain't ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'll come tell you that there was a lowly Jew that died for you, and he is your Savior because you are powerless before God. Now that'd go over real good for a Roman citizen, because as far as they was concerned, a Jew was nothing but a peasant. And so to be told by Paul at this time, when Rome was the greatest power on the face of the earth, that they were powerless and that they needed a peasant to save them, you can imagine how they would have reacted to the message. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm trying to get to all this because you and I live in a Bible Belt. You and I live in a place where most people have heard about Jesus and we're scared to death to mention His name. We're scared to death to say it in the school. We're scared to death. We're so scared of saying Jesus that we won't even pray in Jesus' name. Oh, did I strike a nerve? We're so ashamed of Jesus, we won't pray in Jesus' name. But a Muslim can run around yelling Allah all he wants to, and it's accepted by society. Is everybody all right? I'm having fun. Y'all having fun? I'm having fun. We're so scared to even mention the name Jesus when we hold the power. Are y'all not getting what I'm saying? We don't hold a power of God. We have the power of God. Not a power of God, not some power of God, but the power of God. There's no other power that's greater than the gospel. Paul says, I'm ready and I'm not ashamed. But so many of us, we ain't ready. He wasn't ready. And we ashamed. We say we ain't ashamed as long as we're in a congregation with a bunch of people like us. When the preacher says, who you gonna bring Sunday? We like, I'm gonna bring the whole world. I'm gonna leave out of here tomorrow. I'm gonna tell everybody about Jesus. We get to the house and get to thinking about it and say, you know what? I might lose my job if I tell somebody about Jesus, not realizing that you hold the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. We hold our hands and we have in our heart and we won't even share it. Because we worried about somebody might mock us. Paul said, I'm ready and I'm willing to march right into Rome and preach the gospel. Why? Because eternity is more important than anything this earth has to offer me. Is everybody all right? Quick sermon and we're done, all right? Every Christian. You a Christian tonight? Every Christian should be ready and unashamed to preach the gospel because of the following declarations given in Romans chapter number 1. Is everybody ready? Declaration number 1. The greatest peril of mankind is declared in chapter number 1. The greatest peril of mankind, verse number 8, for the wrath of God. The greatest peril to mankind isn't a virus. I'm going to go over here and say it over here. The greatest peril to mankind isn't a virus. It's the wrath of God. We don't preach it in our churches no more. We don't talk about it in our small group. We don't talk about it in our Sunday school classes. But it is the greatest peril of mankind. People are going to die and go to hell because the wrath of God is real. It exists. It will come for you if you do not trust in the very one He sent to save you. And we walk around holding this in our heart, holding this in our hand, ashamed to tell somebody. We are literally watching people die and go to hell. Every day you see a funeral and you pass by, chances are that person is spending the rest of their eternity burning in hell. Why? Because Christians who like to sit on cushions, like to sit in the air conditioner, are too ashamed to share the power of God that they hold in their hearts and that they hold in their hands. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. And every one of us, say, not one person in here ought to be ashamed to share the gospel. We ought to be ready to share the gospel. Why? Because the greatest peril to mankind is the wrath of God. And the only cure, the only satisfaction to the wrath of God is a Savior who is God Himself, that came and died. The good news, the gospel. We see the description that's given. I really don't have time to go through all this, but the Bible says that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That's everything against God. Against all unrighteousness of men. That's everything against men. I think you could just stop right there and I think we got it covered. We wouldn't have to go any further because we've all done God wrong. We've all done other men wrong, other women wrong. Is everybody all right? But it goes on and says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's scary to me. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That would be us. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of us that try to justify and try to say, oh, God's going to be kind and God's gracious and God's merciful. But this verse lets us know that those that don't receive Christ are without excuse. Say, preacher, what about the ones that hadn't heard the gospel? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Man is without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. By the way, that Greek word, fools, its root word is morano. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you it means moron. Is everybody all right? They became morons. I'm sorry, that was mean, all right? It was Bible, but it was mean. Hey, did you know this? Hey, I didn't know this, but Spurgeon wouldn't even read this part of Scripture out loud. He challenged his congregation to read it privately because it was too descriptive and vulgar of mankind. Is everybody all right? Verse 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. We had this discussion in Sunday school. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Next verse. And likewise also the men. If you had any confusion as to what verse 26 meant, verse 27 says, and likewise. So what he's talking about in verse number 27 is the continuation of what he was talking about in verse number 26. So what he left out in verse number 26, he's fixing to cover in verse number 27. Because verse number 27 tells us likewise, like verse number 26. Is everybody with me? I'm having fun. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. In other words, the penalty they received in themselves. I could tell you what that is, but you probably already know, but you don't want to say it. Verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now I'm going to just go ahead and tell y'all what Paul was describing. He was describing the United States of America in 2021. Is everybody all right? He wasn't really. Y'all do know that. It was written like a couple thousand years ago. But I just wanted to point out that everything that he said, you and I are seeing today. Okay? So if you have this belief that man's getting better, it's not. Matter of fact, I got an argument for you that man's getting even worse. All right, now we may not be to the point that they were when God destroyed the entire earth with a flood, but we're getting there. We moving in that direction. We got this month, Gay Pride Month. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's throw it in everybody's face. The very thing that God said he gave them over to. I don't think we understand that. That was God's punishment. Do you realize God will give you over to your sins? I'm messing everything up. We see the description that God gave, the greatest peril of mankind, the description that God gave, the danger of it. The danger of it in verse number 22 is professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. It's scary when we start thinking that we're smarter than God. That's the danger of this. But the destruction of it we see in verse 24, 26, and 28 when the Bible says God also gave them up, God gave them up, and God gave them over. A lot of people think, well, God's not punishing me, so everything's all right. I can continue sinning. But the very punishment of God is to allow you to give you over to your sin, because sin is what will destroy you, not God. Oh, I need somebody to help me. God said, is that what you want? Professing to be wise, they became fools. If your sin is what you desire, and you desire it more than God, then God will give you over to your sin, and your sin will do the work in destroying your body. Boy, y'all ain't never heard no preaching like that, but y'all hearing it tonight. Yeah. I get up there, I have to watch TV. Brother Sheldon, I can't watch TV with my youngins because when my grandson, I can't watch it because they got to have a commercial on there to tell everybody how that stuff can continue to go on. You got to have this pill and you got to have that pill. Why? Because sin is destroying them. God's give them over. You want that? You can have it. But you're going to have everything that comes with it. You're going to have the destruction that comes with it. And you and I see it every day. Listen to me. You and I see it every day. And we sit back on our hands. Hide the gospel. Is everybody all right? Keep our mouth shut and hide what's in here. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But apparently we ain't got a whole lot in there. Because the gospel that we have in here ain't coming out here. And the gospel that we hold in our hands ain't coming out to others. And the greatest peril of mankind is that the wrath of God will be upon them. And the only chance they have at redemption, the only way that they can avoid the wrath of God is through John chapter number 14. And in verse number 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. There's no other denomination. There's no other prayer to pray. There's no other work to be done. There's no other thing that we can do. But the only way. The only way. Is through Christ. The gospel. That you and I. high in our heart and high in our hands. Do you realize tonight, the greatest peril of mankind is not getting another meal, not missing a meal. The greatest peril to mankind is not having a cell phone. The greatest peril to mankind is not having a car. The greatest peril of mankind isn't going on another mission trip. We got to raise money to go on another mission. The greatest peril of mankind is the wrath of God. And there's people that are running blindly into it. Because Christians aren't ready. And they're ashamed to share the power of God. Not a power of God. The power of God unto salvation. Are you ready tonight? Listen, I wrote this down. The need for salvation only exists if there's something to be saved from. If you believe there's something to be saved from, then you believe in the wrath of God, whether you like it or not. Not only do we see the greatest peril of mankind, but we see the greatest power of mankind. I don't need to preach this, do I? I think I pretty much preached it through the introduction. I pretty much preached it through from reading the Bible. I mean, we preach it all I can preach it. So do I need to really preach this? We have the greatest peril of mankind is the wrath of God, but the greatest power of mankind, help me church, is the gospel of Christ. It's not powerful advice. It's not a powerful suggestion. It's not a power. It is the power. And though the Roman Empire was the epitome of power in Paul's day, they were powerless when it come to standing before God. They were powerless in becoming righteous. They needed the power of God, the gospel of Christ. You realize tonight that every human being needs the power of God unto salvation, the greatest power that's ever been on the face of the earth. The very power, think about this, the greatest power, Brother Scott, that's ever existed since the garden. Some of us have in pocket size and can put it in our back pocket. The greatest power that's ever been revealed on the earth wasn't the size of a tank. It wasn't the size of an aircraft carrier. It was so small that it'll fit right in there. It's so small, Jesse, that it'll fit right in here. It's so small, brother, that it'll come right out of here. Yes. It's so small, and yet it's so powerful that it can change a life. It can change an eternity. Amen. But it's got to be loosed. We got to be ready and unashamed. Because you and I hold the greatest power that the world has ever seen when we hold the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, the third declaration found in Romans chapter number one. I like it. Y'all liking it? Oh, maybe y'all like this. All right. The greatest promise to mankind is found in verse number 17. Verse number 16, we're told about the greatest power to mankind. But in verse number 17, we're given the greatest promise to mankind. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God. Revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Where can we start? Where can we start? For therein what? The gospel is the righteousness of God. I looked up that word righteousness and it means dikaiosyn in Greek. I ain't interested in that. That's a noun. The verb is what we're interested in right here. the righteousness. That verb is dikaio, dikaio. Is everybody all right? Y'all write that down. I'm sure y'all are going to go study that, all right? It literally means this. Is everybody ready? For therein is the righteousness of God. All right. When you read that, you think, okay, the gospel has the righteousness of God in it. But that ain't what it means. See, it's a verb and it's an action. It's an action word. Is everybody ready? And it's dikaio, and it means to render righteous. It means to declare, pronounce one to be just or righteous. It means to show, exhibit, reveal one to be righteous. So the very power of God reveals, it renders, it declares, it pronounces those that, verse number 16 said, believeth to be righteous. Do you understand that the ultimate power of God declares men righteous before God? It isn't our works. It isn't what we can do. But the power of God, the gospel of God that you and I receive or believeth declares us righteous. And that word down there at the end, the just shall live by faith, literally means the justified. I need somebody to raise your hand. If you believe the gospel at some point in your life, you're a believer or believeth, then according to the Bible, because of your belief in the power of God, the gospel, you are declared, you are rendered, you are pronounced to be righteous. And since you are pronounced to be righteous, then the justified, which is you, the justified shall live by faith. Boy, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. The criteria found in verse number 16 is that you believe the gospel. But the computation is in verse number 17. That is where you are accounted, for therein is the righteousness of God. That's when God, when you receive the power, God declares you righteous. Y'all don't get that. You don't get it. Because if we got it right now, we'd be running around shouting, tearing the walls down. Because what that means is that as far as God's concerned, we are righteous. Means we won't receive the wrath of God. We're not appreciative of that, are we? Come on now. We're not appreciative of that. We sit here in our hearts and say, man, I sure am glad I ain't going to hell, but we don't really understand. God declared us righteous. Not because of anything you did, Brother Kenny, you sweet little man. Not because of anything that you did, Brother Gary. Not because of anything that you did, Brother Jesse. Not because of anything that any of us did. But because of what His Son did, the power of the gospel, you and I are declared righteous. That means when I stand before God, as we sing in a song, He'll look at me and say, not guilty. It isn't because I'm not guilty. It's because all He can see is the righteousness of His Son that has been declared and imputed upon me. His Son has taken my sin to the cross and died for it. And I stand not guilty, but it ain't because of what I did. It's because of what He did. And because of what He did, the power of that is that God declares you and I righteous. Oh, y'all, is everybody right? Y'all getting an education tonight? The last one, and I'm done. The greatest praise of mankind. Still found in verse number 17. We ain't going any farther. Is everybody all right? The last sentence. The just shall live by faith. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I like that term. from faith to faith. I get in by faith, but I... Let me get over here. Ain't none of y'all even got it. I just laid it out. Nobody got it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith when I get in to faith as I walk, as I live. It's faith to faith. See, you don't get faith and get saved and then it's all over with. Why? Because the just or the justified shall live by faith. Say, what does that got to do with praise? I'm glad you asked. Because I was looking in this whole thing and this was a thought I had. This is how we honor God. How do I honor God? The same way I got in, I walk while I'm in. I need somebody to help me. There's too many people that want to claim faith to get in, but don't live by faith going through. And so we are not ready and we are unashamed to share the gospel because we don't have faith that the gospel is the power of God. Man, if I was T.D. Jakes, they'd be on an organ right now. The praise team would be getting back up to sing. All the men sitting around there would be shouting. Something was just revealed to us and we didn't even catch it. We got in by faith. Everybody wants to claim faith. Everybody likes faith getting in. But faith don't stop when you get in. The just shall live by faith. I'm going to share the gospel because I have faith that it is the power of God. I'm ready to give the gospel. Why? Because I have faith that it is the power of God. I have faith that it will change mankind. I have faith that it can do something in somebody's life that I can't. And no matter how many people scoff at me, no matter how many people make fun of me, they don't hold the same power that I do. But they hold a worse eternity than they can possibly imagine. And I'd rather them know the power of God. And for me to take it to my grave, holding it in my hand and in my heart, never letting it out my mouth. Is everybody all right? Amen. The just shall live by faith. The greatest praise of mankind, the greatest way that you and I can honor God. Are y'all getting it now? The greatest way that I can honor God is by taking the faith that got me in and living in it every day of my life, believing that the same power of God that saved me will save somebody else. Amen. Not ashamed. Paul says, I am not ashamed. He said, I'm ready to preach to God as much as in, don't miss it, as much as is in me. I am ready to preach the gospel. Amen. To the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise, and even to you folks in Rome. Amen. Paul was living in our day, he'd say, even here. Paul probably wouldn't even be in church tonight. He'd be out there telling somebody about Jesus. Because he believed that it, that gospel, was the power of God unto salvation. Some of you are worrying about, well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if I can. Y'all got to hear me. I don't know if I can do this, preacher. It ain't up to you. Let's go over here. Look at my facial expression. It ain't up to you. You ain't got nothing to offer. I'm sorry. I didn't want y'all like to hear in church. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to pump y'all up. Y'all are the greatest people in the world, right? You ain't got nothing to offer. I mean, we could go on in scripture and Paul says something like this. But such were some of you. Everything that we read about up there in the beginning of it. But such were some of you. They wasn't no power in you. Ain't no power in them. But there's power in the gospel. And now the gospel is in you. And it ain't about you. It's, we got to get, if we saved and we got it in here, we got to get it out. Can't be ashamed. We got to be ready. Well, I don't know how to lead anybody to the Lord. What happened to you? Is everybody right? Paul's in chapter number one. He ain't wrote chapter 10 yet. He ain't told them, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He ain't even got to, for all the sin to come short of the glory of God. He's still in chapter number one writing down. You know how Paul preached? You know how Paul witnessed to somebody? You know how Paul gave the gospel to others? He said, let me tell you what happened to me. I was on my way to kill a bunch of Christians. I was going to throw them in prison because I was tired of hearing about this Jesus. But then all of a sudden a great light shone up there in heaven, knocked me slam off my horse. I couldn't see anything but Jesus because I knew exactly who I was talking to. He said, boy, why are you doing this to me? Paul said, I didn't believe in you. I didn't know what I was doing. He said, boy, get up. You're going to go into town. You're going to be baptized in 3 days. You're going to go get you an education on the gospel, and you're going to become the greatest Christian and the greatest missionary that's ever walked the face of the earth. You're going to go to the Greek nation. You're going to go to the Greeks, and you're going to tell them about God. And because of that testimony, y'all hear me? Because of that testimony, because of that power of salvation, because of that gospel that was given to him right there on the Damascus Road, you and I have the gospel in our hand tonight because it was Paul that God used to take the gospel into Europe. And from Europe, the gospel spread. And then these little jokers come over on these boats and they ate maize up there. That's what it's called up above the Macon-Dixon line, apparently. Down here we call it corn. Is everybody all right? While they was eating maize, we were eating corn. See, you know them's a bunch of Yankees because they come down here and be like, the first meal that they had was grits and eggs and bacon. Is everybody all right? But they had corn and ate a turkey. Everybody okay? Not even a deep fried turkey. Not even an oven baked turkey. We're talking about over a fire roast. Come on, y'all. Man, we got it so good. But you and I hold in our hand the power of God unto salvation because of the testimony of one man and what it could do in his life. Boy, do you realize, somebody got to help me. Do you realize that you could tell another Paul? Yes. You could tell a James, a John, or even a Simon Peter about the power of God tomorrow and change their life, their eternity. Listen to me. And everyone around them. Let me go ahead and help you out some. You'll get rewarded for that. That's right. Not here. That's right. But up there, that's right. Paul called it a crown of rejoicing. Yes. She's coming to the pen and we're coming to the altar. We're going to get out any fear or shame, anything. We're going to claim the power of gospel. Come on now. Come on now. I know it's 8:30. I know it is. It's Miranda's fault. You hold in your hand and in your heart the power of God unto salvation. Don't hide it. Don't keep it. Share it. Give it to somebody. Tell somebody. Tonight, I'm going to ask a very pointed question. I know who I'm dealing with. I know that the majority of the people in this church right now are saved. But I'm not ready to go to bed tonight without the assurance of knowing that everybody that sat in this service under the sound of my voice has believeth in the power of God, that gospel. So tonight, if you're in here and say, preacher, I've never been saved. There's never been a time in my life where I've asked Christ to come into my heart. If that's you tonight, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. Is there anybody like that tonight? Thank you. Don't put your heads down. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Is there anybody else? Be honest with me. Not going to embarrass you. Thank you. You put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Not going to send nobody to you. God's working tonight. Christians are praying tonight. Been three that's looked up tonight already. You're not alone. Is there anybody else? Be honest with me. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen those that have looked up. God, you knew before they looked up that they needed you. God, I believe they're here by divine appointment. This was a sermon that as I put together, Lord, I was contemplating preaching on a Sunday morning. But God, you knew who would be here tonight. Lord, you knew who needed to hear it. Lord, while it applies to us as Christians, Lord, the gospel was shared tonight. Lord, I'm going to trust in your scripture. I'm going to trust in your word tonight that it is the power of God. Lord, tonight I pray you save somebody. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you looked up at me, I want to help you tonight. I can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I can show you from God's word. I've quoted it, but I can show you from God's word. I'm not lying to you. If you'll let me do that, I want you to get up out of your seat and come right here. Take me by the hand. Let me help you tonight. Will you do that? It's up to you. Dalton, come help me, son. Will you come? Please. Hey, I'll meet you halfway if you'll come. If you'll come, I'll meet you halfway. Your choice, your decision. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's your choice. Why don't you come tonight? Just get up. I promise you, the first steps, they're the hardest. After that, it's just one foot in front of the other. I had to do it. Everybody in this auditorium had to do it at some time. Won't you come? Come on, let me help you. Let me help you tonight. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. I'm talking about giving to you the power of God. Won't you come? All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I've done what I can do. God, our dependence is upon you tonight. Lord, the gospel has been pronounced, declared, preached, and it has been heard. And God, I pray that you do what only you can do. Oh, we trust that it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd use it tonight in a powerful way. Lord, we thank you for one that's come forward. God, I pray that you give wisdom, understanding to those that are talking with him. God, I pray in Jesus' name that through faith, he'd receive you tonight. Lord, I thank you for this service and the people of it. Thank you for allowing us to come together as like believers. Lord, be challenged. But Lord, also I was encouraged tonight. Lord, I can't get over. I've been declared righteous. I don't deserve it. I know what I've done. I know who I've been. And yet, God, I stand before you tonight justified, declared, pronounced, rendered righteous. Not because of what I did, but because of Christ. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray I do my part in honoring you by living that same faith. That same faith that got me in, may I live it in front of others.